Praise the Lord, everybody. We are so excited about today. I am super excited based on the relationship that I have with these couples. God has been so very good. We have a corsage that Sister Grant and my wife will put on. Pardon? Two moms are in the nursing room. So we're going to go to plan B. Get a corsage when you leave this auditorium. Everybody in agreement with that? All right. We'd like to have the Brad come, if he would, and we'd like to have him introduce the folks that have came to be with him and his family.
Everybody can make it, obviously. So my mother-in-law, Sheridan, she moved from Oklahoma not too long ago. And then my mom, Joanne, that's in the back there. And then our adopted parents, Dave and Ellen Hopp, which everybody knows. And then my kids, Jack and Sophia. And then our friend, Nicole, and her daughter. And Abby and Justin actually came over, too. And there's my sister right there, my sister Nicole, which a lot of you guys have met. So that's my family.
Okay, go ahead and just hand it over to Brother Jeff Contreras.
This guy's my brother, too, right here. Amen. He's a good man there. Got my real big brother here, Juan Contreras, who's still my hero. Love that guy. My dad, love you, Dad. My grandma Lynn here. My mom, Vicky. Stephanie Sherman, who attends our church. And these guys, I don't know how they snuck in today. I'm really embarrassed that they're here. I said, you guys, I'm trying to look cool and spiritual today. And this caught me off guard, but we got some great young men here from our church. Brother Diego Avila, Robert Galvin. And on my wife's behalf, we got the Thorpes here. We love them very much. And of course, who could forget Peggy? She's pretty awesome. And I know this guy preaching too, pretty well.
Guests too.
What's that?
Did you introduce the rest of the guests on that back
row? Oh, I forgot. My bad. I'm fired. I hope I can still come to your house
Ushers,
for dinner.
Please Renee. Come and get them.
And Abby, of course. Look at her right there. She's like, come on, Dad. Amen. Going next?
Go to next. We also have Michelle and Joe Thorpe, and there's a few more in that row there. Lauren.
He wants to preach already, so I just told him he's got a little bit of time. It's all right. I've got my mom and dad here, my dad Ken, my mom Fatima, my wife Christina, my lovely wife. And okay, you want to help introduce them? Okay.
All right. Praise the Lord.
It's David, our daughter Sophia, our daughter being dedicated, Rosaline, my mother-in-law, Virginia, my father-in-law, Procoro. We've got friends and family combined here. We've got Sierra there, Nasli and her kids, Caroline and Roberto, and soon-to-be Samuel coming real soon. This young lady, believe it or not, she's my grandma right here. This is Dolores, but we call her Granny, and my nephew Emiliano, my sister Liana, and one of my other nephews, Ricardo. Where's Akira in class? And I got a niece here, too. We've got other people who are probably going to come forward. And you all are my family, too, so. Woo.
Praise God. When Bishop Grant asked me to speak at this dedication, I know this was a bittersweet thing for the bishop because he has a special relationship with the Contreras's and the Kilskis and the Tops. And so when I received this invitation, my knees began to tremble and a lump in my throat because I was hoping that I would not become overwhelmed with emotion because of relationships with these folks. These are some really fine Christian people. Well, let's give them a hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Before we start the dedication, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms, the 127th chapter. And the third verse. And if you don't mind standing for the reading of the word, Psalms 127:3. Lo, children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As the arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, and I might add, happy is the grandfather and grandmother that has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You may be seated. Britt and Brad Topp are having their son, Bill Bradley Topp, dedicated this morning. I'm really good with words. Okay, we'll move on with that. But Bo is a unique young man. I know he's going to be unique because I know Bentley. Oh, Bentley, would you tell everybody you hello and you love them?
I love you.
Bentley is one of my favorite little guys. You know, he's always there and he wants to sit on Pastor Roy or Bishop Grant's lap, or if they're not available, he'll take me. He wants to be a preacher. Praise God. What a neat family. Of course, Brad is oversees our lawn care on the outside of the building. Britt's involved in care baskets and so on and so forth. But just a great family. And I think there's going to be more arrows in their quiver before this is all done. I have that feeling that they may set the new indoor record, but I don't know. Praise God. This has been an amazing year for Calvary Gospel Church. We have a lot of babies being born. Mark and Christina are dedicating their beautiful daughter, Rosaline Angelina. See, if you had dyslexia, you wouldn't think this was funny. Just kidding. I've known Christina since, my goodness, I think she was 5, 6 years old when I first met her. She ran down from the third floor to get on her Sunday school bus, and then she started bringing her sisters and her brother, and then her mom started coming. So after a while, we had the whole family there. Virginia has been a longtime member of Calvary Gospel Church, and we love her greatly. We get a prayer request every single service. Virginia says, please pray for my family. And this lady is a prayer warrior. She's done a remarkable job praying, seeking God for her children. She has never quit, and we're so thankful for that. Because of her prayers, we now have our very own Christina Nikilski. You know, Christina took a little detour, but later in life she came back to Calvary Gospel Church, and she rededicated her heart to the Lord. And she became a frequent visitor during the afternoons to Calvary Gospel Church, and she'd meet with any pastor that was available. She was so hungry for the word of the Lord. She was just an amazing young lady. She just could not get enough of the word of God. So I said, you know, Christina was already knocking doors and doing things for the Lord. And I said, Christina, you need to take the burden you have and pass it and train some people to do this. She said, absolutely not. I don't like training people. I just want to do it myself. I said, one is too small of a number to affect the kingdom of God. So she began to train other people. See, what we're all about, we want to seek and save that which is lost. We want to go out into the highways and the byways and find these folks. But after a while, she was just like a little sponge. And she became my spiritually adopted daughter. And I'm so thankful that she is here serving the Lord today. Mark, I also have a bond with Mark Nikilski. He's an awesome soul winner. You should hear the raving reviews that the bosses at H&H Industry, when they talk about Mark Nikilski. They just, you know, they think he walks on water. But you know what? All of the men that we have here at Calvary Gospel Church that are working at H&H Industries, they are so amazing when you have about a half a dozen young men who don't smoke, don't drink, come to work every day, come early and stay late, and have a good work ethic. The management now wants to help sponsor one of our big events coming up this summer. And I'm really excited about letting your light shine in the name of Jesus. Mark and Christina organized our outreach department. They have led many, many crusades into our Madison Park system. Mark has won countless people to the Lord, and they head up our home Bible study ministry and our transportation ministry. But there's one story that I just have to tell about Mark Nikilski. He called me one day. He says, "Pastor Thomas, I've got to come in. I've got an urgent. I've got to talk to you." I said, "Well, sure, come in." And I'm thinking, "Oh my goodness, what's going on?" So I'm really concerned. Well, he comes in. He's sitting there and he's fidgeting around. He says, "I really, really like this girl, and I don't know what to do. I don't want a relationship, but I just can't get her off of my mind." Now everybody in church knew who that girl was. We all saw it coming. It was like a train wreck. A good train wreck. So I said to Mark, before he said another word, I said, "You mean Christina, don't you? You know?" I said, "Everybody knows Mark." He got real, "Wow." I said, he said, "What should I do?" I said, "Real simple, just call her up and ask her to go out for dinner." I said, "Listen, you have to breach this thing. You have to find out if she has any feelings for you, and if she doesn't, go on with the rest of your life." Okay, so he called her up, and they had a date, and called me the next day, and he said, "How's the date?" He says, "Great. If she likes me, she's sure not showing it." I said, "Mark, it's time to take it to the next level. Come out of the closet. Declare your intentions." 2 children later, woo! Oh my. The rest is history. Jeff and Ashley have brought Ezra James Contreras to be dedicated to the Lord this morning. And I'm so honored to be a part of this. I've known Ezra's mother for over 30 years. In fact, I was there in the birthing room when her little head popped out. Little did I know what we were in for. She never shut up. She kept on talking nonstop until Jeffrey took her away from us. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's not fair. In fact, I was there when Ashley was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost at the ripe old age of 5 years old. This is why we have baby dedications, to train up a child in the way they should go. 5 years old. I think Renee received the Holy Ghost when she was 6. Pastor Grant baptized both of them in the name of Jesus. So don't wait until your children are 12 years old to teach them about your God. Allow God to work in their lives while they are very young. Praise God. Now, Ashley had a love for children, and I don't think she would have ever gotten involved with Pastor Jeff, but she said, "I met this awesome guy up at the Wisconsin District Camp." I said, "Well, what's up?" "He just loves kids just like me." And I said, "Well, here we go." And one thing led to another, and she has married an awesome young man. I mean, a really awesome young man. Brother and Sister Contreras, you have done a remarkable job raising your child. And I'm very, very thankful that Jeff is part of our church. Not only that, he's the pastor of the Rock of Jesus church in Delvin, Wisconsin, and he was elected pastor when he was, I think, 24 years old, 25. What were you doing when you were 25? Did a bunch of people say, this is the man of God that I want to follow? Nevertheless. Now, if you ever heard Jeff preach, he's an amazing preacher, teacher, but the thing that I love about him more than anything is the fact that he is a soul winner. He loves winning souls, and he's very, very good at it. And he's an average muskie fisherman, too. Now, when I talk about Jeff, I have to talk about this one meeting, our very first meeting. And Ashley said, Dad, Jeff wants to meet you, and he wants to ask your permission to date. I said, that's great. I said, that is wonderful. And so we picked a spot, and Ashley was so nervous because she knows I'm a bit on the weird side. So Jeff and I are sitting there just chit-chatting, and he asked me, I said, that's fine, no problem. I said, Jeff, you want to have a little fun? And he said, sure. I said, I'm going to call up Ashley, and I'm going to tell her you're not here, and I'm leaving. And I said, if this guy is so dumb he can't find the restaurant, I don't think he should be part of our family. If you could have heard Ashley's voice on the phone, Dad, don't leave. I'll call him. Oh, praise God. I'm having a lot of fun here. And I happened to be in the hospital room when Ezra James, several hours after he was born. When I got there, he'd already had his 10th meal. He has not stopped eating ever since. Hold him up. He is exactly my body shape. Wow. Do we have any grandparents in the building? Raise your hand. Look at all the grandparents. Isn't it fun? We got a call on our way back from the Wisconsin District Home Missions Conference. It was Abby. She had some important information. She says, Grandpa, Grandma, what's up? She says, I went poopy in the potty chair. She says, and I'm wearing big girl panties. Woo! Oh, my. She is a delight. We just figured out that you could actually use Skype, and you can talk to people down in Delvin. You know, and it's so cool that we can talk to our grandchildren and our children, just with a flick of a switch. Praise God. This generation is the generation of electronic gimmicks. To the parents and family that are here today, this is a real happy occasion, what brings us together. Like Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Hannah of old, you have brought your precious child to the house of God to present him to the Lord. The Bible tells us that children are a heritage of the Lord, committed by God to their parents for the care, protection, and training of his glory. It's so important that all parents recognize this obligation. You can't leave a child unattended and just hope because you're a Christian that things are going to be okay, that somehow God's going to miraculously make them a Christian. You have the obligation and the responsibility to infuse into their small, pliable little hearts and minds the oracles of God. And you don't wait until they're six. You don't wait till they're 16. You start the very first day. There will be a struggle. Who's going to win? It'll depend on your perspective of child rearing. If you do it the biblical way, did you know that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child? You ever think about that? It's in there. When he comes out of the womb, we don't know what he's going to be. God's already figured out whether he's going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a preacher, an evangelist, or whatever. God already has figured out what he wants these children to be, but they will never become what God wants them to be unless the parents are raising these children and putting into their souls the right information. Praise God. In our text this morning, we read in Psalms 127, 4, that arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Parents, you are the archer. These children will go wherever you aim. If your target is not dead center into the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ, they will not follow your footsteps. We all know parents who have aimed their children at youth hockey, baseball, football, all these things of the world, but they forgot about, and because they love their children, they wanted the very best for them. But the very best thing you can do for your child is to raise him up, knowing God, fearing the Lord, put these biblical principles that one day you will see your child at an altar of repentance. One day you'll see them weeping. It's an amazing thing when you see very small children weeping. They don't even know what it's all about, but they feel the very presence of God that you have presented to them day after day after day. They are familiar with the presence of God because when Daddy holds them and walks the aisles and prays and seeks after the Lord, their little spirits are absorbing the presence of God. They're becoming familiar with the presence of God. They are learning how to pray because this is how mommy prays. This is how daddy prays. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is our obligation. It's our privilege. Praise God. So the question I ask you today, where are you going to aim your child? It has to be consistent. It can't be we're going to aim our child to church things on Sunday. But it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Until they become accustomed to this is who we are. Over 100 years ago, a man named Howard Bushnell said, "Let every mother and father realize that when their child is 3 years of age, they have done more than half they will ever do for its character." Behavior psychologists will tell you that by the time they're 7, that framework is netted inside of them. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of divine intervention. I happen to be 38 years old when God miraculously delivered me from the world that I was involved in. But let me tell you something, a transformation happened in my heart. Could not have happened without the Lord Jesus Christ. But why wait until your child's 38 years old? Why not do it when they're very, very young? If you're wondering about my statement of 3 years of age, just go to the mall or a grocery store. And you will see those three-year-old children leading two adults around and telling them exactly what they want and when they want it. I need to put duct tape on my mouth when I go to the grocery store and to the mall because this little kid says, "No, I don't want that. I want this." I don't know about you, but my dad would be, "Son, we need to have a talk out by the woodshed." See, that's not popular anymore. In fact, it's a crime in the state of Wisconsin, or at least in Dane County, to correct your children, to discipline your children. And I'm not advocating beating them, but somehow they have to learn the difference between right and wrong. That there is a punishment for doing wrong. Doesn't it? It could be as go sit in the corner, go to your room, don't do that again. But somewhere in that, you have to break their little will. It's hard for us as parents to look into the eyes of these beautiful babies and realize that inside of them is also a fallen nature. That's what the Bible says. They were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Have they sinned? No, but they have the propensity to sin. You don't have to train a child to steal. Leave some cookies on the table. And then chocolate's dripping down his lip. Did you take a cookie? No. Did you take a cookie? No. Who taught the kid to do this? The nature that's within him. Every day is a moment to instruct your child in biblical principles until it becomes so ingrained in their heart that this is the nature that they have. Praise God. You have to be careful in your home what you speak about. You have to be careful. These little ears pick up everything you say. And you say, oh, they don't understand that I'm talking against the pastor. Oh, they feel that spirit. Because that spirit is different than the spirit they get most of the time. But when you begin talking negative things, they receive those things. They're hidden in their little heart. And listen, you don't want to give the enemy of our souls anything that would come against you. Children are born with rebellion in them because they're part of human nature. And it's our responsibility, our duty. One man said, there's only three ways to teach a child. The first is by example. The second is by example. And the third is by example. Whatever you do or whatever you say, however you conduct your life outside of these church doors, listen to me. This will determine the eternal destiny of your child. If you love God, they'll love God. If you pray, they'll pray. If you seek after holiness, they'll seek after holiness. Everything else will be distasteful to them. They will not want them. Take your children with you when you go do your ministerial duties. Take them on park outreaches. Take them to the sound booth. Whatever you do for the Lord, parents, make sure that you include your children in this because they need to see mom and dad working in the kingdom of God. So when the opportunity arises and they get spiritually mature enough, you'll see, oh, this is what I do. You watch Jeff Rossin take his children around during our prayer meetings. He walks all the way around the room, and many others of you are training your child. We come to a prayer meeting to pray. We come to a worship service to worship. I've watched Mark and Christina down here with their children and dancing in the Holy Ghost, praising God. What do you think's going on in that child? He's feeling the presence of God again and again and again and again and again. And anything else is not going to register to them. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so emotional right now. I just, in my mind, I'm looking at these little children, and I'm thinking, what potential? I mean, inside of this little seed, this child has a potential to do so much for the kingdom of God. But it's our responsibility to give them the information and to put into them the things that they need. Deuteronomy 11 and 19, the Bible says, and you shall teach them, your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt write them upon the doorposts and thine house upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land of the Lord swore unto you, your fathers, to give them as the days of heaven on earth. Praise God. Got a call here not too long ago from this little girl, Abigail. Do you remember the scripture? Do you want to say your scripture? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We got a telephone. She calls us up and she, Grandpa, Grandma, you want to hear my twipchiko? I can't wait. And I was just, I'm thinking, oh my God, it's working, it's happening. And I know, and I see little Bentley. Where did Bentley go? He's probably preaching someplace. He comes up here, and he's all about preaching. He's all about wanting the microphone. And his mom and dad tell me that Bentley wants to preach, and they'll open up his room, and there he's there. He's in there with his little mic. There he is. Safe. Good job, Bentley. Praise God. Praise God. There's so much that we need to teach our children, but by example is the very best way. We always go to church. We shun our eyes from evil. We try to keep our ears listening only to those things that would please the Lord. And when we sit down to pray, we have another chair, and that chair is for your son or your daughter. And you teach them how to pray. You give them the opportunity. So one day, when they get old enough, they will come to an altar themselves. And so, upon this, those parents that have children to be dedicated, would you please stand and come forward? And family and friends, we'd like you also to come. And we're going to pray a dedication covenant here. Just come up a little bit this way so your family and friends can come behind you. Okay. Isn't this a great opportunity to think what we're doing right here today has eternal implications? Praise God. Here comes the star. Children are so unpredictable. You never know when they're going to perform. When they'll say the funniest, goofiest things and the most intelligent things, then you ask them, and they go, they won't. Nope, they won't do it. Except Bentley. Okay. In accordance with the purpose for which we have come, we would ask that you all step forward just a little bit further and respond to the following covenant with the words, "We do." And if you'd be so kind as to give your baby to the minister that was designated, Sister Thomas, you are the designated minister. James Hawk. Okay. Just hand your child to. Do you not, would you please respond by "we do" when I give the admonition here? Do you now present your child before God in solemn dedication? Do you consecrate yourself as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to instruct him or her in the teachings of Jesus Christ, in the practice of prayer, and to guide him or her in the development of a Christ-like character? You promise to try to the best of your ability so to shape the home life of your child, both by family devotion and by your words and by your example, that he or she will naturally come to an open confession of Christ into the fellowship and service of the church. Okay, those that are holding the child, you can give the child back. And I'd like you, all the family members, to just put your hand on the back of those who are in front of you. I'd like to ask our senior pastor, Roy Grant, if he would come and close this service in prayer.
We could just have the congregation stand. And as we pray for these parents and these families, if you and the congregation, if you could just raise your hand and stretch it out toward these families. Lord, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to take, Lord, what is yours, what you have given to us as parents, Lord, to be stewards over. We ask you, Lord, that you would help each one of these families, each one of these parents. God, I believe, Lord Jesus, your word says to train up a child when he is young, Lord God, so when he is old, he will not depart, Lord. There's so many times in my life, Lord, when I was older that I attempted to depart from your ways, Lord, but it was what was taught, what I learned as a child, what was ingrained in me and instilled in me by my parents, Lord, and by the examples of the members of this church, Lord, and by friends and family. Lord, we pray for each one of these parents, Lord. We pray for the grandparents. We pray for the aunts and the uncles and all of the influence that these children have on their lives. And I pray, Lord, that it would be a godly influence, Lord. We live in such a world that is so unpredictable, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that your hand of guidance, Lord God, and wisdom would be manifest itself within these families, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the mothers and the dads and for the children, for the grandparents again, Lord, that you would bring these families together, Lord, as they raise these children, Lord, in the unity, Lord, of your spirit, Lord, and of your word. God, we pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon them. Bless them this day. Bless the activities, Lord, that would follow this as families, Lord. And we pray and we do this all in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Pastor Roy is going to lead the family out into the vestibule, and we're going to have a receiving line for anyone who would like to come and shake their hand and greet their family. That would be wonderful. Praise God, praise God. And we'll be closing this service in a few moments. The name. Let's just lift up our hands and worship the Lord as they leave the building. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise his name, praise his name, praise his name, praise his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. May be seated. If you're a guest of ours here this morning, if you were like me when I came here some 35 years ago, I really did not know anything about the dedication of a baby, because quite frankly, in the denomination that I came from, that was not practiced. And what was practiced was infant baptism, and that was just accepted. So I was baptized as an infant. I had never ever known or considered that that was not a biblical perspective. So if you're here this morning, I would like to give everyone an opportunity to at least hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says the death, the burial, and the resurrection is what saves us. And we are buried with Jesus Christ in baptism. Go down into that water, every sin that we've ever committed is washed away. When I was 38 years old, God moved upon me. I had many, many, many social problems, too many to even mention here. But when I went down into that water in baptism, oh my, I came up out of that water. I had the best experience you could possibly. To know that you're no longer held accountable for those sins, and somehow God puts it in your spirit that you are set free. And if the Son sets you free, the Bible says you are free indeed. That's why I'm standing here this morning, because I believe that there are people right here in this auditorium that perhaps had never heard of water baptism in Jesus' name. And the infilling of God's Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in another language. What a privilege it is to be called a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We're born into the family. We are adopted sons and daughters. So if you'd stand with me. If there's anyone here this morning that would like to come forward and pray, if there's anyone here this morning that would like to have a biblical experience of salvation, please feel free to come up here. Over the years, I don't think I've ever been in a service where Bishop Grant did not have and give people an opportunity to give their heart to the Lord. So if you would like to come up, please feel free to do that. If you don't feel it today, maybe tomorrow, but don't hesitate. God gave us tongues interpretation this morning, and I truly believe that there's a few people here that really, really want to come forward. But if you would like, you can just go ahead and be seated. Please pray. And once you are done praying, you feel free to go out and visit with the family members.